Hey, welcome to the Mead House. Jeff here.
Hey, Chris here. Great to be back, man.
Good to be back. It is. We're well into September, which means it's kind of finally turning a little bit fallish.
And, yeah.
You know, we talked a few weeks back about fall meads, and we talked about Halloween meads a couple weeks back, and we're...
And even fruits last time.
Yeah.
Fruits. I've been mulling about that for a bit, man.
I know. It's one of those things, like, the week beforehand, I knew it was going to be the topic, and I put thought into it, and I, you know, okay, well, do we want to talk about that? We want to talk about that. We need to talk about processing different kinds of fruit, so we need to talk about that. And then since then, it's like, oh, God, now that we've opened that watershed.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Problem.
The list just keeps growing, man.
I'm not mad about it, but dadgummit, I'm not getting so much knowledge before I get, keep getting new things put in.
I know, right? This is the perennial problem with mead makers. Once you start making a list, that list grows faster than you can cross things off. It just does.
And, well, I'm not mad about it, I'll be honest. But... I told my wife a little bit back, and I said, I need more buckets. And she looked at me like I was stoned, insane, delusional, or just trying to mess with her. I'm not sure which one it was, to be honest.
It's going to be a combination of the four, to be honest.
Yeah. But there you go. But, more than the bucks, I need space. I can fill up entire rooms with that stuff.
Yeah, another perennial problem, as you highlighted the other day. I've been cleaning up down here in our studio space, and, the more space I get out, the more like, okay, well, I could be responsible and not fill this with more crap, or I could buy more crap.
And, look, the space has nothing here. I can do something with that.
No, realistically, I need to fill this space with crap that's occupying space in other rooms so we can just get more organized and better, prepared to do stuff.
Yeah.
My downstairs space has been mostly filled with, there are tools. I don't know where to find half the crap I own at this point. So
I understand that one. Yeah.
Getting this is where all my tools live, and they all have their spaces so that when I need my light duty air nailer to put some trim in the upstairs hallway, or do this, that, or the other, I can just find it, go to it, and get it. That's the ideal.
That would be lovely. I don't have that ability either.
Anyway,
I got four toolboxes. They're all totes.
Enough dad gripes. Let's get to the meat of the episode here. Hey, before we get started, let's thank Bacchus and Barley Corn.
Yeah,
they
always
have been the sponsor since January. We've been rolling. Now we're in mid September. It's been what?
No, we're at the end of September, man. We're getting really close to it. Just finishing this month out. So yeah, they've been awesome. They have never once, I don't know if they put our show on when they're in business hours or anything, but they've always been so supportive, and it's never been an issue. And they're good people. They're really nice. They want to help you. They want you to make the best whatever you're making you can possibly make and get better at it.
Yeah.
And always well-stocked. I mean, and we need to get to a... customer appreciation of it sometime in the future. We really do.
My problem is generally that the customer appreciation events are generally on Sundays, and I have a game group that meets on Sunday afternoons, so it's a 50-50 shot whether I have something planned for those. And on the dates I don't have something planned for those, inevitably the dad, I need to clean this XYZ, or I need to repair this, that, or the other.
Let's put the bad things away. We said that already.
I know, but you guys know how it goes. We talked about time management and dealing with all that stuff a few weeks back too. And it's a perennial problem that you need to work out solutions for.
It's never a solved solution. It's always a work in progress.
It really is.
But Box and Barker, if you need it, they probably got it, or they can get it really fast.
Mm-hmm. Whether that's supplies or ingredients or the equipment. They've got all kinds of stuff, and it's not just the
beer, meat, wine, seltzer, or even essential oils.
Yeah,
they have things for that too,
right? They have distilling equipment, even though it's. I mean, I think there are now three states where distilling is technically illegal, or at least decriminalized, like it is in Missouri.
Yeah,
I don't think Kansas is one of those, which is it's where they're located, but they still have equipment for distilling. If you want to make some essential oils for your essential oil needs.
Yeah, that can happen. And even better, even though they have really competitive prices, they've got a 10% discount. You can use it anytime with MHP10.
That's 10% off. That saves you some money. That lets them know that their investment in us is paying dividends too.
Yeah.
So,
So you're helping yourself, you're helping us. Hey, win-win.
everybody wins there.
Yeah, and that's 4 weeks in a row, man. I think I may have this a little bit under control.
He says, and then
Next week I'll screw it
next
up.
week he's going straight up. I could put money on it, but I mean.
Yeah, I want to say it's the same, but it's probably pretty close. And the other person people we need to talk to is our listeners.
Yes, you guys listening at home, week after week, I'm the one that does a lot of the behind the scenes work as far as like editing and posting these episodes. So I get to see hey, last week you had X number, the week before you had Y number, and that X is generally a little bit
Is a
higher than the
plus.
Y every week after week. I'm happy to see that.
And
And
it's actually kind of invigorating. We really appreciate it, guys.
we love it when you guys reach out to us on Facebook or by the info at themeathouse.com. Let us know that you enjoyed the stuff we were talking about.
Big news. We are on Amazon now.
One of our listeners let us know that they found us on Amazon, and I didn't get any kind of an email saying, "Hey, here's Amazon. We're listing you guys now." But somebody found us, so they must have figured that out finally.
Yeah, and which, oh my gosh, we got one more to go, man. We're in like Flynn.
We figure out Spotify. We're on everywhere you can find podcasts. Hey, why don't you do the list for us? Where can people find us?
Besides Amazon, you can find us on Apple Podcast, Pocket Casts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Deezer, Deezer,
Deezer,
Deezer,
Deezer.
Deezer, and Podcast Addict, FM, Player FM, Podchaser, Castbox, Good Pods, and Podcast Index. We're coming out, man.
Almost all of them you can find us on. And if it's that much easier to find your dealer's choice for how you like to find us, subscribe, and then that way you get the notification when a new episode drops. Usually you're probably going to get that notification on a Thursday morning or a Friday, depending on how on the ball I am with posting the episode.
You're usually pretty good. I mean, no shade on
A
this.
couple weeks ago I had a day where I went to bed early, I was sick, and then it didn't get dropped until like Thursday in the early afternoon. But hey,
Yeah, but you also there was a day we had just it wasn't even our fault. It was technical.
Yeah,
It happens, man. I mean, we're human. We have to deal with what we deal with.
we are at the mercy of the ones and the zeros sometimes, and
Yeah.
not always cooperative.
Yeah. One isn't off and one isn't on.
Well, there's that. Yes, and sometimes those zeros they rule the ones.
Yeah. Hey, we do appreciate you being there and catch up with us. Get online and tell us where what you're listening on so we can just kind of see where we're making the biggest impact.
Yeah, and whatever service you guys are using, whether it's the Apple Podcast or the Amazon or whatever, if they give you the opportunity to rate us or subscribe or give us likes or shares or whatever kind of engagement they use,
Give us a five. I mean, we're working hard here. I mean, it's tough work, honestly.
True. Yeah, we're about to pop open another bottle and
Yeah.
share while we talk about some strong mead, stronger than what we're putting into our glasses today by
Yeah,
measure.
yeah, yeah,
And yeah, no, we're trying our best to give you this the weekly content that if nothing else is entertaining, hopefully informative, or at least gives you some weird avenues like last week to expand onto and say, hey,
Yeah.
let's
Yeah, I can try this. Yeah.
let's make some sweet sop black whatever some poke play was it? I don't remember. It's
I
been a
don't,
long
it was the
time.
black pudding plant. That's all I
Yeah,
remember.
yeah. Well, it's new stuff to play with, and now we're gonna have to go down that whole rabbit hole with weird vegetables too, I think,
Oh,
at
yeah,
some point.
that sounds like a future project. All right, well, the next one we're getting is again from Sap House. We talked about this a few weeks ago.
Yeah, this is another one from the Sap House autumn, I guess, release from their Renaissance Festival line. This is the Wild Rover. This is a 9%. The base is a wildflower and orange blossom mead.
With
And
apple with pumpkin pie season.
yeah, this is a pie seasoning augmented one. I don't have the full list in front of me, but I'm sure it's like cinnamon and clove and nutmeg and things like that.
That. And we talked about this, about the same time too,
Right,
a week
yeah.
or two right after
I
before.
think literally the episode dropped, and then the next day I got this bottle in the mail.
Yeah,
It's like,
you talked about that. And
so nice.
even on the bottle it says the Maine Renaissance Festival. So this is
This is their collaboration with the Maine Renaissance Festival. This and the Yorkshire's best traditional they have too. So yeah, no, this is we're in Renaissance Festival season, and they are working with the main Renaissance festivals. And apparently, if that's still going on, I kind of doubt it. I don't know how long that runs. You can go to the main Renaissance Festival for those of you in that neck of the woods and have yourself some Wild Rover or Yorkshire's best mead from Saffhouse.
Now, what I'm pouring out here is I've got a very light yellow, I mean, pale straw.
Yeah, the medium to pale. Yeah, it's light. It's light. Sheets the glass. This is just a 9%, so I'm not really expecting a lot of thick body or
No.
legs or anything like that. Sheeting the
But,
glass is not something I'm gonna fault them for by any stretch.
yeah, I'm not going to be mad because, I'll be honest. After doing sack after sack after sack of 14 plus 14 plus 4, I'm not mad about six and nines I'm getting right now. These are.
Yeah, no, the last couple of weeks have been a lot easier on our livers.
Yeah. Well, no, our livers are cleaned out, not suffering. Right. Yeah, that's what I keep trying to tell myself. Anyway.
And those pie spices are hard on the aroma. I
Oh,
mean,
that's
they
about
are.
all I smell. I don't smell the honey underneath that, do you?
No, the pie spices are strong in this. I get a lot of the clove, not clove, the nutmeg is hard there, and so is cinnamon.
I don't smell much in the way of clove either, because that would probably be a little more dominant than it is. But they have it. It's a really light
Yeah,
touch. It's a really light touch.
there might be some light clove in there, but it's cinnamon and nutmeg is the really dominant one. Probably some allspice too.
Very mild. I mean, if you didn't smell the spices, you might miss them in the first taste. But they're there. Don't get me
Oh,
wrong.
they're
You feel like
there.
it's the top of the palate, hard palate of your mouth.
I wouldn't worry about it. They have that warming sensation that these spices are so well known for.
Yeah.
But it is a light-bodied mead, easy drinking guy, and I could see this being real goddamn pleasant on a hot, fair day with just
Livers.
yeah.
You actually, this is so light. I could deal with it a little bit chilled on a warm day or a little bit warmer on a cooler day. It's just right in that nice little middle for me.
I think, yeah, this could play nicely either way. And if it were hotter out and we had this, maybe like chilled it in the fridge for an hour beforehand, I think that'd be good too. But as it stands, even at room temp, so to speak.
I mean, we have all of our almost all our meads we drink at room temp because that's how we make them and that's
Right.
how we aim our taste. So that's how we do it.
Generally speaking, if it's carbonated, I'll chill it down because it's how we do things in the competition circuit. Generally, if it's carbonated, it gets served at a colder temp than anything else. And if it's not carbonated, we'll serve it at room temp. It's
But this is nice.
yeah.
I mean, I was expecting a bigger impact with the spices on my tongue, but I didn't get that. But I don't. That's by no means saying it's not there. It is there. It's the present. It's making itself known
Yeah,
lightly.
they don't have to be overpowering, and I think it's probably better for it, especially with the what I want to say, the body of the mead being lighter and what kind of honey flavor are you getting out of it? The honey flavor is kind of, to me, it's
Light clover is what I'm getting. I'm not getting
yeah,
much in the orange.
it's light either way. It's kind of it is almost a secondary note to the spices, even though the spices aren't that strong. Yeah, I think lighter on the spices is the way to go here because it is a lighter body, lighter flavor mead, and that's not a bad thing. Sometimes just a light, easygoing mead, especially on a hot day or if you're busy at fair and running around, that's.
Yeah, light is good. I have no complaints about this whatsoever. I like a little fuller taste to this, but this is pleasant. This is pleasant.
This, I don't think it needs to be. There are a lot of different ways to make a lot of good meads, and I think this is a very nice mead on the lighter side.
I don't think
That's
it's so much wild as Rover. Sorry, I'll show myself out in a little while.
if anybody happens to be watching the Kansas City Evening News from the weekend beforehand and sees a port of somebody beaten bloody for poor jokes,
Oh, it's probably me.
you got the inside story there on
Yeah,
why that
that
happened.
could easily happen. Anyway, but no, good meat.
Yeah, no, this is very nice, very light, and
This is a good choice for this. I really like it.
especially for a meat or a, sorry, an episode where we're talking about not light meats.
No, this is what we're talking about is a heavy meat. We're talking at 16%.
Right, we've already hit you guys with the meat house, like basic 8%, the basic
12%.
12%.
Now we're stepping up to 16.
Right.
Is it necessary to go to 16 for a flavor? No.
No, and in fact, when it comes to flavor, I'm of the opinion that somewhere in that 10 to 14% range, that's a good spot to be as far as balancing the little bit of, like, what I want to say, warm heat. The it's not quite a burn unless you're doing a really hot, not very well managed ferment, and then you can get some of those. Excuse me.
You got hiccups last week too, man. What is it, me? No, okay. Well,
I think it's the mead, but
I can live with that.
yeah, well, no, the what was I talking about?
No, the you're talking about the we hit we're,
The sweet spot for
the
flavor.
sweet set for flavor and 10 to 14 is really good. I've gone a little bit higher than that, generally speaking. I've got good flavor. I mean, most people will tell you that tried my meads, it's still very good. Can I get the same flavors with a little bit less alcohol? Sure.
Yeah.
And I've
Well,
ordered that.
and I know a lot of starting mead makers go, oh, this mead can go up to 14%. I should just do 14%. Or this mead can do 18%. That's much more alcoholic. I can have a gallon of much more alcoholic mead, and I will need to drink less of it to get silly.
Guilty. I'm guilty.
One of the first batches of mead I did, I named Audacity just because I was trying every trick in my early understanding of how yeast ferment works to make the most alcoholic mead I could, including letting it sit on a little heating pad to get it above room temperature to make the yeast more active. And it was not a good mead, but it was an alcoholic mead.
Yeah. If that's your goal, yeah. But what we're dealing with, let's say, is a 16. Now, why, if you're not getting a better flavor, why are you doing 16? Excellent question. I had to ask Jeff that myself. So I'm going to give you the floor for the answer.
So there are some situations where you would want a higher ABV content. The one that I am most interested in, the one that we'll riff on a little bit here in a little while, I think, is the idea of distilling. If we can get a higher ABV content in the first place,
With a good tasting meat.
right, the good taste has to be there in the first place. But that high ABV content up front means we're going to get more of the alcohol as a product of the distillation as opposed to an 8 or a 12%.
And you're going to keep a good chunk of that flavor in there at the same time. Excellent choice.
Right. That's one of those reasons where we might want a higher ABV mead. Another reason we might want a higher ABV mead is some of these, like you've said before. Hey, if you're making something seasonal, make it a year in advance. I love a session mead. We had that Queen's Mead, was it last week?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was last week. It was really good.
Right, and it was just a 6%. Here's the thing, 6% not going to age well.
No.
I'm not saving those cans, the couple that I have left over, after the two we killed, to see how it improves in another 3 years.
Not gonna, I mean, the higher alcohol, the longer you can keep it on the shelf. Most people that I've talked to at Bacchus, they'll say a standard 10, 12%. You got a good 2 to 3 years before you should have it drunk. That's not a time scale. That's a use by date.
Best buy date.
Best by date.
Because you and I both know if it's a little past its prime, it's still
It's all
probably
probably good.
pretty good. I think we a few weeks back we had a blueberry that I'd been holding on to for a few years from Opigard that it was starting to show a little bit. It was starting to get a little bit of oxidation,
Was it
but
good? Yes, but
did we still finish that bottle?
yeah, oh yeah. But
But
by the same token, it was still a good mead, and that was way past best by date.
right. So the higher ABV guys you can get, generally, you have a little bit more wiggle room as far as storage there, and they can develop some more interesting flavors that way too. You're getting something that is borderline a cordial at that point, though, because it is a higher ABV. You probably want to put more back sweetening into it than you would, an 8 or 12 or 14% even, because you've got more alcohol that you're competing with.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you're gonna want to do something to balance that, whether it's more sweetness, more flavor from fruit or whatever.
That's why I swear. And the good thing is, the sweetness and the alcohol do not fight each other. They're gonna let each exist on their own. They don't care. So making it sweeter is not gonna hurt your alcohol content. Alcohol content's not. I'm having trouble already. Alcohol content's not gonna hurt your
It's only a
sweetness.
9%, Chris. Come on.
Oh, today it's just a rough day, man.
I know, right?
it's horrible. I'm here with one of my best friends in my entire life drinking meat. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pour meat.
And we're bullshitting about meat, which is like, you know, a shared hobby and having a great time.
Yeah.
Life is tough.
That is tough. But anyway, back to it. But the sweetness and the alcohol are not going to compete.
Right.
They're going to work well together. And always make it as sweet as you want. If you want a dry meat, make it a dry meat. If you want a sweet meat, make it a sweet meat. If you anywhere in between, make it that. Because you're not hurting anybody.
Right. At the end of the day, you and I are mostly I did a little bit of competition hopping as I got into this, and it's nice to win medals. It's rewarding, I suppose,
I
but
wouldn't know.
it's not really where my interest lies. I am making mead for me and the people I care about.
Yeah.
And let me my friends know they will always find meat and mead in my household when they come to visit. It's just how it goes.
And it's a good problem to have. I have so much trouble finding people to taste my meats.
My bad.
Yeah, I mean it's tough. I mean, I just had four people last week ask me, "Yeah, well, if you have, if you want me to try that for you, you'll make friends fast, as it
For sure.
were." But I've learned from Jeff, and because of my own personal meat making, I need to earn a medal because I said I would for my mentor Tracy. But after that happens, I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah, no, I know the no shade to the guys that are chasing medals. I see, people, month after month pulling in two or three medals at each competition, and like that is some swagger. I will note.
Props, man.
Yeah, I raise my glass to these, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. That's not
But
a problem. But if you want to make medals, make medals. We're not mad at you.
yeah, and I
But
hope our advice or our thoughts or our things give you more fodder to make better stuff that makes even more medals.
medals, yeah, go for it. But I'm 58. My competition days are a little bit behind me.
At the end of the day, I have always been of a mind that competing against other people is secondary to competing against myself.
Yeah,
And
because I'm never going to
I just want to make a better meat than I made last year. If I'm going to make another, you have your pumpkin spice white whale.
win. Yeah, still.
My white whale is a coffee meat that I've been too scared to attempt for a while now, and I will probably have to make another one soon. Maybe not soon, but at some point in the near future or to the
It says, well,
medium
that
future.
next one, next one I'll count down a little bit harder, other than my banana nutter butter. And now Reese's peanut butter cup. Thank you so much for that, because that came out at a conversation with my wife. One thing I'm gonna try really hard for is my London Fog tea with Earl Grey mead and lactose.
Yeah, that sounds very promising, really. I mean, I think from the Earl Grey that we had before, like I said, I remember wanting more bergamot in the mix, and it felt very heavy on the vanilla, but I liked the vanilla that I got off of that.
And just last week, I was at the Renaissance Festival and I got a bag of tea. It's a Earl Grey with white tea. I'm sitting here, drum the evil fingers here. I'm gonna give it a try.
And white tea is such a light, pleasant flavor. I think I've only made black tea based meads for tea meads. I would be so curious just to see how a white tea by itself makes a mead.
With the bergamot, that's the thing.
With or without,
Yeah.
really. I mean,
Well, I've got white Chardonnay without. That's not a problem. But I, with the bergamot, I'm curious.
yeah. No, again, that list, it just keeps growing.
Yeah.
There's so much to do. Hey, let's get to the recipe itself.
Yeah.
Because I mean, this is
Jeff,
gonna
this one's on you.
yeah, this is gonna feel a little familiar to those of you that listen to the 12%, because at the end of the day,
The only real difference I see is the amount of sugar you put in, or even the
right,
formani.
we talked about there being a difference in the fermentation process between the 8% and the 12%, because now we want to stagger the nutrients, and now we want to make sure that we're taking some extra steps to make a good end product. This is very much in the same fashion of, well, now we want to stagger the nutrients because it's even more a high ABV. Now we want to do the go firm again, because again, higher ABV means more stress up front.
And you want that yeast unstressed as possible.
Right. And again, now we're going to definitely do 1 to 2 times a day degassing, because there's that much more for it to ferment, that much more for it to produce carbon dioxide from. Basically, all those steps that we talked about that are additional and important for that 12%, now they're more important.
Yeah, and then there's going to be more of them, to be blunt. I mean, we're probably going to nutrient a little bit more.
Not necessarily more steps, but it's the gravity of it and the need for you to be mindful of it is more intense. Yes, the amount of nutrient we're putting in, yeah, the volume wise, yeah, there's more of that too. So we're going to start with about a gallon of water. And again, I'm releasing most of my mead recipes here, straight up mead recipes as 1 gallon, because you can just multiply by X to get the number of gallons you want to make, whether it's 5 or 6 or 3 or 8 or 10.
Or 50 or 100, it's up to you. How much stress do you want to
Sure.
put on yourself?
And again, gopher is real important here. We're going to do, for a single gallon, we're going to do a 2 gram load of K1V116. And at the end of the day, I would eyeball half a packet instead of weighing 2 grams. It's probably going to be fine because that's a 5 gram packet. Grams are so itty bitty that.
A gram and a half is not going to crush your dreams.
Yeah, an extra half a gram is not going to hurt you anything at all, and it'll probably the meat might be even better for it. We're going to mix that with 2.5 grams of Gopherm in about 50 milliliters or a half a cup of warm water. It's I want to say blood warm. We're talking, 70 to 80%,
Yeah,
or sorry,
30
78 degrees
degrees.
Fahrenheit.
Mind you, that's chill, that's cooler than your own skin temperature, so.
Right. It should feel warm but not hot when you touch it. And if you've got one of those little instant read IR thermometers, you can just
Or one of
point a
those things
laser.
that you can poke into the water or whatever. Do it.
I mean, I just like the non-contact from the instant read thermometers better than anything, but use what you got. Make sure it's not too hot, because you're going to stress the yeast out more if it's got a fight temperature too. And let that sit while you're doing all your other stuff. It needs to sit probably 15, 20 minutes.
It's more than enough time to make your slurry.
Incidentally, I've seen that they have a new Gopherm out on the market now. That's it's still called Gopherm, but it's Gopherm something else, and I forget the name of it, but apparently it's just a little bit more refined and better than their regular Gopherm. I don't know if Bacchus carries it yet,
But
Gopherm Protect, yeah.
I did a quick Google search and
Sterol Flash was the one I'd seen. Gopherm is from Scott Laboratories. They make a bunch of great stuff, and all the benefits of regular Gopherm allows yeast to be hydrated in cool water, without loss of viability or vitality. So,
as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit, that's pretty low.
Eliminates time-consuming acclimatization steps, Jeff. 50% less water than other rehydration nutrients. Non-clumping, instantly disperses. Derived from autolyzed yeast, yeah, so apparently it's just a slightly improved version of the Gopherm we all know and love. Apparently you can do it with half as much water, but it's
It's not going to hurt anything either
yeah.
way.
If you know what you're doing, you're taking your little half cup of, the yeast right rehydration solution from the water you're going to use to brew anyway. So that was water you were going to put into your must anyway, whether that's a half cup or a quarter cup. You're good. You're good. Anyway, so
But then, this one, I don't, what are the benefits of the new yeast? Do you know that?
apparently it's just that. It's, survives better at lower temperatures and it helps it get up to speed faster
Okay.
or more efficiently.
I would love to be a little more efficient. I'm not gonna, I don't like fast per se because that makes me nervous about stressed yeast.
Yeah,
But
I'll hear you.
efficient's goal.
There's something to be said for ease of use, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway,
Anyway.
next.
So we get the yeast rehydrating with the Gopherm. We're going to add honey and water. And this is, we're just talking about a trad right now. You can add your own flavors as you see fit. We'll probably have some fun, complicated recipes here in another, week or two. We're going to probably talk about the Christmassy stuff. So we'll
Yeah.
talk about some fun, weird additions we've been throwing around since we first teased that a few episodes back. And yeah, no, for this one, we're just going to do a trad. So we're going to do as if we're going to distill it, because at some point over the winter,
You might.
I'm gonna get bored.
Oh no. Don't
Ah,
get bored, Jeff. Oh no.
that's how we get problems.
That's so that's how we get into good stuff too.
That's also how the wife wants to have a conversation. Well, you
You
know how that
have to
goes.
deal with your own wife, man. I got
Anyway,
mine.
so we're gonna add honey and water, and we're going for a target gravity of 1.125 here. This is substantial. So
It's a it that's a hard. I mean, you heard us, a little while back, we said 1.095, that's about 12. It doesn't take much more sugar to get a lot more alcohol. So the gravity, just take our word for it, and you could even go to Brewer's Friend, use their alcohol by volume ABV calculator, and get these exact same numbers, man.
Yeah. Well, I have a little table that I like to use. I forget exactly which website it's from, but you can find just SG to potential alcohol table, and
Yeah.
just Google that, and you can find a handful of those. And that's kind of what I use for a quick reference when I'm throwing up ideas or kind of eyeballing where I want the ABV to hit, right? So our target ABV, I'm sorry, our target gravity, not ABV, our target gravity here is 1.125. And we're gonna add those up, mix them up real good, make sure we don't have any yeast stuck at the bottom.
No clumps of honey.
Exactly.
Well mixed.
No honey stuck at the bottom is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Not yeast. We haven't added the yeast quite yet. But yeah, you want to make sure that all that yeast is mixed in. Obviously, the more yeast, the more honey. Obviously, the more honey you add to your must, the harder it's going to be to mix. So again, power drill.
Power drill and attachments, awesome thing. I've used it so much. I don't know why I ever didn't.
And let's not forget the most important thing you can put into a mead, patience.
Patience.
So mix it up to 1125, add your yeast slurry, which should be nice and bubbly by now because it will take some time to mix all that up. And then we're going to follow our basic protocol. Slap an airlock on that. Watch for bubbles. Once you get bubbles, 24 hours, you add your first nutrient
Your
addition.
booster.
In this case, we're adding Fermaid K at 2.33 grams per dose. I'd probably just round it to 2.5, but that's me.
You're not going to hurt the yeast by giving a little bit more to eat.
Well, yeah, it's not like we're going to have an ungodly amount of extra nutrient in
And they're not
this.
going to crawl in the bucket saying, well, I want more. It's not going to happen.
Did we talk about the yeast we're using here?
No, I don't think you
I
did.
don't think we did, and that's another important note. We talked about, generally for these guys, we talked about 71B being
Is my
the
go-to.
right. It's my go-to as well. It's a workhorse. It's a reliable one to take honey and turn it into alcohol. But it has an alcohol tolerance. It's a little low for this
It's
application.
probably not going to get you the alcohol level you want because it gives them a can't.
Right, it will poison itself from the alcohol before it completes the job. Which is not to say it couldn't. If you do all the right steps and do all the best work, you can probably stretch that alcohol tolerance a little bit further and get where you need to go. But for this purpose, we're going to go to another one of my favorite yeasts, K1V1116. And
1116 is much higher tolerance. It can get you to where you want to go for 16.
this is a champagne yeast with a 18% alcohol tolerance, even if it's baseline. Treat it right, it can go a little higher, up to 19, I think. And it has a fairly neutral, nice flavor profile. This is a champagne yeast, so it handles a little bit higher ABV in general. And from a flavor profile standpoint, I like this. Anything with like apples in it, this tends to be my go-to for it, actually, because I think this is a good one. Although I also like it's just a British ale yeast for like lighter ciders and stuff too. But for higher ABV apple applications, every time K1V116. Anyway, the other like off-cuff option we have here is EC1118. Another champagne yeast, another 18% potential ABV. And I just don't like it as well as this one. I think the flavor profile from the 116 is a little bit better than the 1118 at the end of the day. So that's what informs my choice. The nice part about the 116 is that it's also a low nutrient requirement. So this is part of why we're only needing to throw in like 2.33 grams per feeding here.
Instead of how much would be for the 1118.
We'd probably be in the neighborhood of math off the top of my head is challenging when I've had a little to
Rough
drink.
guess.
Approaching 3 grams per
Okay,
feeding.
so a little bit,
Right.
for a piece more.
Right. Basically, for a low ABV, we multiply our yeast need factor by 0.7 for a medium like the RC212 we talked about for the BlackBerry.
Yeah.
That's a medium, so that requires like 0.9.
Okay, so a lot more nutrient than that one.
Yeah, it's a fair bit. It's
I mean, well, I'm talking for wine because, when you talk about specific gravity, a point or two is a lot.
it can be, yeah.
And for nutrients, a point or two can be a lot.
It can be. So anyway, we're going to add our nutrients in that basic schedule: 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, and then when we hit the one-third sugar break, which is 1.083 in this case. And the other thing we need to think about there is that as we're going through fermentation, degassing, very important. The yeast are being very active, especially in this first week, 1 to 2 times a day. Absolutely degas. And sometimes it's,
Just stir it, guys. I mean, it's not hard. Just get some of the bubbles out of there as much as you can.
yeah. Even if it's, you happen to be walking through on your way to make breakfast and get the kid out the door, grab the bottle by the neck and give it a little swirl to get something going is better than nothing at all.
Yeah. I mean, and you don't have to spend a lot of time doing this. You can do this for 5, 10 seconds. It's going to help you out a lot.
Something is better than nothing. Another pro tip, though, for those nutrient additions, minimally important if you're using Ferm 8K, maximally important if you're using Ferm 8O, degas first, then add the nutrient. Because,
Otherwise, you can get spillover.
yeah, those will bubble up like Old Faithful and decorate your countertop.
Like my, well, banana meat. No, it tried really hard.
And again, this is. We're not doing a lot of flavor combinations or additions here. We're talking about a trad. So,
Just talking about trad.
yeah,
This is,
when we get
if you want
to.
to do the same thing with whatever flavor you want, do it. It's not going to make a huge difference, but
Right.
watch your gravities.
If we're doing like, I could see like the idea of, the Ken Schramm's Heart of Darkness, the blackberry, black currant, and black cherry, kind of those dark fruits in a high ABV setting being something you stick in a corner and age for a very long time. I could see something like that in this application at 16% being real damn pleasant. Do with this information what you will, but for right now we're just talking about a
The
trad.
track.
And so, once we get through secondary, we're going to stabilize this, back sweeten if you want, and if we're going to do the distillation experiment that I was talking about before, we probably don't need to back sweeten at all because that's probably not going to come through at the end of the day. It's just going to end up burning on the bottom of the still, actually. You find it if you want it, you filter it if you want it, and then you bottle it or not, distill it, whatever you're going to do with it. This is a very simple recipe. This is the bare bones I'm giving you guys to take with and do with as you please.
But there's a 16% alcohol. I mean, 16% meat, guys. Alcohol-based meat. If you want to take it right there, stop and enjoy a 60% wine, which is about basically what it is, man. You just made your wine with honey rather than the grapes. Great. The next step that Chef was talking about was actually distilling it.
Right. And so distilling it, the idea here is that, granted, I'm no expert in distilling. I've never actually done it, but I've seen a lot of videos and I've read a couple books and I've wasted a bunch of time looking into it. My understanding is that there are a couple like runs, so to say, on the distilling part. The idea being first we want to separate out the water from the alcohol, and then we'll do another run separating the good flavors from the not so great flavors.
Would you like to have a distilling kit available to you so you can give it a try at some point?
I may or may not already have
Okay. Because I happen to know somebody who has one. And apparently you do too.
Yep.
So, okay.
No, the if you remember that Anvil Foundry that we used to make some Braggot early on, that has some attachments I can add to the lid of that, along with a couple clamps that turns it from a like a single vessel beer brewing fermenter, not fermenter, kettle
Kettle.
thing to a still.
Okay.
So.
Now I want to ask you, really, like the first few episodes we had, you started a beer. How long did it take to finish?
It's still working.
This is like almost 8 months later, guy.
Yeah, no, I'm still refining it. I want to add a little bit more of the I haven't pulled it into like a from secondary to finished quite yet. I want to add a little bit more oak. I'm going to try some Hungarian oak on it in addition to the French that I've already been using, because I want to see if the interesting spicy character comes through with this.
Okay.
And then I want to add a little bit more of the melter honey that I was using. It's basically bouchet by accident by the beekeeper when he's making stuff, but I was using that for the honey component of it, and get that going, and then I'll probably have it kegged for late fall, early winter.
Okay, so okay, this is the point I want to bring across, guys. Making beer or wine or mead, in this case, the time frame is not dissimilar.
Right. The fact that this has taken as long as it has is also in part a patience and motivation and time constraint kind of thing on my end. Not just, this is how long it takes to let sit, but yeah.
Well, I can get a decent, 14% out in 3 to 4 months,
Right.
out straight out of the barrel. Now, I like to age it after that because, you've tried my, last week you tried my apple, a few weeks ago, actually, we tried my apple pie.
Yes, 2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. And it was much better than when I got it out of the barrel,
Yeah,
got it out
that's
of the bucket.
nature of the beast. Those will settle out. The flavors kind of
Made
start
it
to
much
play
smoother,
nice.
much, but it was straight out of the barrel. It wasn't bad.
Right.
And I'm bringing back to the old story that one time when this is when Jeff was working at Bacchus, there's a guy who went in. I don't think Jeff dealt with him, but I was there when he was dealt with. He goes, "I want a fast beer." And he was looking for a beer for that weekend. And I don't remember who it was behind the counter. Could have been Jackie, could have been, whoever.
Maybe Chelsea? I don't
Whoever
know.
it was, I don't know who, I don't know my name at the time, and I still don't. But they go, "You want a fast beer for this weekend? Go to the grocery store, grab whatever one you prefer drinking, and get it." He goes, "I want to make my own for this." "You're making it for next year, my friend." Now, to his credit, he goes, "Okay, how do I make a really good one for next year?" To his credit.
Okay, that's the right question to ask when you're given that information. Yeah.
And but he found out that beer ain't fast.
No.
Wine ain't fast. Mead ain't fast.
Beer is the fastest of the three. It ain't that fast.
But, so this is, our number one ingredient we use in our mead making is patience. But I move slow, so patience is easy. Right?
I have a lot going on, and the fact that I can put something away and just let okay, I'm gonna taste this again. Okay, it does need more oak. All right, let's put some more oak in there and give it another, 3 ounces of this. We'll try some Hungarian this time. That sounds nice. And just see where that gets us in another week.
And there we go. But, can you get it quickly? Yes. Ish. The more patience you have, the better you're going to make it. Flat out, guys. So we have a 16%. Now, how would you distill from here? As far as you put it in your distiller and you
Right.
drip it out in your first third, you lose.
First 50 to 100 milliliters, yeah, you'll lose that. It's not a full third, but you're gonna lose a bit, because that's gonna be the heavy alcohols, that's gonna be your methylates and things like that, the stuff that will supposedly make you go blind if you drink it. Not
Let's not
that.
try it.
Yeah, no, that's some experiments. They're fun to do. I don't want to do that one
That's
with
not what I need help with. Mother
the
Nature is doing my blindness test for me anyway, so I
Yeah,
don't need
well,
help.
it's getting older. I understand that too. Apparently I'm a few years from getting bifocals, but I'm not quite there yet.
Blind or unlined?
We'll see.
Okay. But yeah, so there you go. I mean, guys, distill it, find your middle ground from your heads and your tails.
The tails, as I understand it, you can put into the next strip run
Yeah.
and you get more a little bit more product out of it that way. The heads, you just want to pitch, and once we're through the strip run, then we're going to do a quality run, and that's where you want to do. Basically, you're still going to have heads there. You're going to probably just pitch those as well, and you're going to keep. You basically, we're talking about making a sequence of jars here, or little cups or glasses or whatever, and.
Jars are what I've seen.
Yeah, jars are. I can just imagine my wife being furious that I've taken 20 little drinking glasses down to the garage to have sequential runs on my still. And Jeff, what the hell?
I have this picture of my head of seeing this, but and I'm amused, but I recommend jars because you got 12 right there. Do two 12 jar boxes. This is the first one. This is the second one, and keep going until you get to the last one out, and then there.
But to be honest, there's a reason I've been saving spaghetti sauce jars for a while.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I mean, I do it for both canning and mead.
So anyway, yeah, in that second stage is where you start to narrow down flavors, and obviously it's going to be damn near pure alcohol, so it's going to be a little hard to taste. It's going to take some fiddling with to get your palate expanded into that round. It'll take me some time, but as I'm given to understand, this is
And
where you
this is why
start.
you need a good flavor to begin with, because otherwise you're going to lose it all.
Right. Well, the overall quality is going to be at a lower level than it would be. But at this point is where we say, okay, so around about jar three or four, we start getting the good stuff. And then at round, 9 to 10, we start getting stuff that doesn't taste quite as good, but it might still be passable. And then around 12, we get this weird, like, burnt tire smell that just needs to go away. So, we're going to start with jar 3 to jar 11, and we're going to evaluate 11 to see if we really want to include that.
Yeah.
Is the way that I understand this works.
And that's actually pretty good for a guy I know that does actually do distilling. I've actually had him taste the middle between the heads and tails. And I didn't feel good afterwards, I'll be honest. It was really rough.
I believe it.
Can I drink a hard alcohol? Sure. Do I enjoy it? Not really.
Well, and I think the other thing that we need to think about here is the end to which we are doing the distilling. I mean, are we talking about making this is something I've mentioned to you before. We don't, if you take and distill a mead and you have a distilled product, what do we call that?
I honestly don't know.
It's not a vodka. That's basically
Just call
white
it spirit.
spirits. Yeah. And I the
Yeah, I really don't know, though.
one of the guys that does mead and professionally and was like judging and hanging out at Valkyrie's Horn a couple years back has I think it's White Wind maybe up in Minnesota has a line of distilled meads, and he calls them eau de vie, which is like it's basically a distilled spirit in French, right?
Okay.
Water of life is the official or the like actual translation there, but that's the same for whiskey and vodka, incidentally. Funny how we call all of our distilled spirits water of life, huh?
Yeah, it's because, well, it is. It makes life worth living.
It doesn't necessarily prolong life, but it makes the life you got a little
It's about quality, not quantity. I mean, I could exercise and I could eat clean and drink water and
I'm not sure if I could eat clean. There's too much good stuff that's not
but
clean.
every once in a while I just want a cookie. It may not be the longest life I could have, but I'm gonna have a little bit of happiness along the
Yeah,
way.
there's enough, stress and inconvenience in life without, trying to eat bran cereal and nothing but low fat and non fat meats and crap like that all day. I want some fatty meat and a decent drink to finish my day with at the end of
Yeah,
the day.
we're in barbecue land. We brought this up,
Oh
man.
yeah.
Anyway, so that is your good 16% trad. And as always, you can always add whatever flavor you want. You want blackberries, put blackberries. You want apricots, put apricots. You
Yeah.
want spices, put spices.
No, I think anything with a heavy fruit presence, this is going to be great for long aging. So I firmly and I was just talking about distilling in this because this is my plan to do this winter as a, ooh, I've never tried this and now I'm going to get my teeth cut on it. But this is the level at which if you're going to age something for a long time, it's probably a good idea to try that at a higher ABV because this will help protect it from those things that tend to settle out with aging. So, whether you want to do a fruit or a spice mead or, it occurs to me that Polish meats, for example, are generally in this higher ABV range anyway because they are long aged. So, this is the complement to that 8-12%. This is the higher end where you can age it for a while, you can let it sit, and you can get some very strong fruit flavors that are gonna fight and do their thing. So, I encourage you guys to experiment with this idea. Brew up some stuff. Tell us on, Facebook or the info at themeathouse.com what you guys do with this and what your higher ABV brews are like, what you focus on. I'm curious to know.
Yeah, because we're not just teaching, we're trying to learn too. So put your comments, tell us what you'd like to hear, even if it's you'd like to hear again. Because maybe if we present another way it's more clear to you, we're good with that.
Yeah, if I have to take a deep dive onto some like part of a section that I mentioned offhand while we were talking about something else, I'm happy to revisit that.
No problem. I mean, research is our bread and butter here. But anyway, I want you all to have a great day. Happy meeting, and we will see you next week on the Meat House.